We're on the church error. The church error. Let's look at Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. Bethany, if you would read, let's just back all the way up to verse 16. Now look at, we're at the end of Matthew. Now that doesn't mean that Mark happens next, and then Luke happens, and then John happens. Remember, the Gospels occur at the same time. Three of them are synoptic. What are the three synoptic Gospels?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
What are they?
Matthew, Mark, Luke.
All right, very good. Those are our synoptic Gospels. So if I read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then I want to get on with the rest of the story, where am I going to turn in my Bible?
Acts
chapter number 1. I'm going to turn to Acts chapter number 1 if I want to get on with the rest of the story. Acts is written by whom?
Luke.
The same Luke as Luke?
Yes.
So if I want to get a beginning of Christ's life into the church age, I start with Luke 1, and I read to the very end of Acts, and I read that together, and I've got a sequel, book 1 and book 2. All right, let's hear Christ's words beginning in verse 16 in Matthew 28.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them.
All right, stop. Why is it 11?
Because Judas
killed
himself.
Yeah, Judas is dead. All right, continue.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
All right, what do we call this? We call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, and in particular, it's found in 19 and 20. You will have to know that. Where's the Great Commission found? Matthew 28:19-20. What is the church's mission? Let's look at this text. What is the church's mission? If you look at verse number 19 in the King James Bible, it says, Go you therefore and teach all nations. Then you'll notice in the King James Bible, verse 20 also has teach all nations. Please understand that the word teach in verse 19 and the word teach in verse 20 is not the same Greek word. The word in verse 19 for teach all nations is much more closely associated with make disciples. Make disciples. What is a disciple?
A student.
What else?
A follower.
So a disciple is a follower of someone. So if we're to make disciples of Christ, what are we to make?
Followers
of Jesus. So, what is the church's mission?
Discipleship.
Two words. The church's mission, the simplest understanding, is to make disciples. Make sure you write that down somewhere. What is the church's mission? Two words.
Make disciples.
Okay? So now, Christ has given them His final commission. I want you to go into the entire world and make disciples. Baptize those disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach those disciples to observe all things. Christ ascends. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to read about the ascension of Christ. The ascension of Christ. And if Matt, if you would read 16 through 11, please. I'm sorry, 6 through 11.
When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Let me pause for just a minute and remind everyone, look at verse 8, please, in your Bible. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will recall in your knowledge of the Bible that before Jesus left, he told the disciples that he was going to give them another, anyone remember the word?
Comforter.
A comforter, another comforter. I'm going to leave, but I'm not leaving you orphans. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send to you a comforter, a parakletos. That's the Greek word, someone to come alongside. You're not going to be orphans. You're not going to be by yourself. You don't have to do this on your own. I'm going to send you a helper. The helper will help you do this. verse number 8, Jesus reminds them again that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And then once they receive this power, what are they supposed to be? Look at verse number 8. What are they supposed to be?
Witnesses.
Witnesses. And where are they supposed to witness?
Jerusalem,
Samaria, everywhere.
All right, so Jerusalem, that's the city. Judea, that's the region. And even further north, Samaria. Now, does anyone remember what the significance of Samaria is and why in particular he's referring to that?
It's the Gentiles.
It's the Gentiles, that's right. The Samaritans are half-breeds. Half-breeds. They've got some Jewish blood in them and some Assyrian blood in them. You remember 722 B.C., Assyria destroys the what kingdom?
Northern.
The northern kingdom. Samaria is north of Jerusalem. So that's the northern kingdom. When Assyria comes in to destroy Jerusalem, what begins to happen with relationships? Yeah, the Assyrian men take the Jewish women, they have with them children, and those children are no longer pure Jews, they are Samaritans. The Samaritans are a half-breed. And did the Jews take kindly to Samaritans?
No.
No, they despised them. So now listen to what Jesus says. Go witness to the Samaritans. We hate Samaritans. No, you go up there and preach to those Samaritans. That would be like pre-Civil War in America telling white preachers to preach to blacks. Pre-Civil War, pre-1860s. That amazing hatred that occurred. That's the same idea here. Go to those that you don't like. All right, continue, Matt.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like a manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
So this is what we call the what?
Ascension.
Ascension. So Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified on a cross, buried, 3 days later, or on the third day, rose from the grave, and then showed himself alive on this earth for 40 years. For 40 years. 40 days. At the end of those 40 days, he ascended to be with the Father. So let's again draw out the life of Christ. His virgin birth. 8 days later, he was what?
Crucified.
Circumcised, not crucified. 8 days later. On the 12th day, we find him where? In the temple. Not the 12th day, the 12th year. Thank you. The 12th year, we find him at the temple. On the 30th year, what happens? He's baptized, and the beginning of, and that's the beginning of the what ministry? The adult ministry. Okay? About 3 1/2 years later, so that would be a 33 and a half years old, what happens?
He's crucified.
On the third day, what happens?
Rises
from the grave, and for 40 more days, he shows himself alive to the disciples. And then he ascends. Will I expect you to know all that?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Virgin birth. Mother is who?
Mary.
Father is who?
God.
Perfect father.
Adopted father.
Adopted.
Yep. 8 days the circumcision according to the what? The Mosaic law. Because he's a Jew. 12th year. We get a little inkling that he's at the temple. And he knows who he is, and he's learning the law, and he knows the law. 30th year, he's baptized. I can tuck right in here a 40-day event. What is that 40-day event?
The temptation.
What is it?
The
temptation. That's right, the temptation. I've got 3 1/2 years of an adult ministry in which he does two primary things. I told you this on Wednesday.
He teaches.
Teaches and performs miracles. He teaches and performs miracles. Why did he perform miracles? Right. To validate that he was the Son of God. What's the greatest miracle he ever performed?
Returned from the dead.
What's that?
Rise from the grave.
Yeah, his own personal resurrection is the greatest miracle. His own personal resurrection. It's one thing if I'm alive and I call someone else forward, that's Lazarus, that's pretty cool. It's another thing if you kill me and I bring myself back up from the grave. He said, I'll lay down this body and I will bring it back up. And that's the resurrection on the third day, 40 days, and then the ascension. The ascension is found where? Acts chapter number 1. Okay, some of you told me it was Exodus. I thought that was very humorous on the quiz, Exodus. That's what I think that's when I ripped the papers in half and said, we'll take this thing again, when someone said Exodus. All right, the main characters in the church era. Now, the church era is Acts 1 through 11. The main characters in the church era, the main characters in the church era are Peter, Stephen, James the Martyr. Okay, those are the main characters in the church era. The antagonists are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herod Agrippa the First. So the main character is who?
Peter.
Additional characters are Stephen and James the Martyr. Okay. Antagonists are the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then Herod Agrippa. Where's our main location?
Rome.
No, not for the birth of the church.
Jerusalem.
No, Jerusalem. The birth of the church occurs in Jerusalem. The birth of the church occurs in Jerusalem. The birthplace or the significance of the church transitions to Antioch. Please turn to your Bible to Acts 11, 26. Okay. Antioch. That is A-N-T-I-O-C-H. Antioch. A-N-T-I-O-C-H. Antioch. So in the beginning of Acts, we are primarily focused in Jerusalem. We make a transition away from Jerusalem. And if someone has... Ashley, do you have Acts 11, 26?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Where were the disciples first called Christians?
Antioch.
Antioch is where the disciples were first called Christians. Antioch is the church that sends out Paul on all of his missionary journeys. Antioch becomes the lead church. The church is started in Jerusalem, but there's a transition that occurs, and Antioch becomes the lead location. The lead location. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read about the sermon that Peter preaches. Alright, look at Acts chapter number 2, verse number 1. We're celebrating Pentecost. Pentecost occurs 50 days after the Passover. You will recall that Jesus was crucified on the Passover. Okay? Pentecost occurs 50 days after, thus the 5th of Pentecost occurs 50 days after. It is a Jewish festival, 50 days. So, let's go over this. Christ is crucified on the Passover. 3 days he's in the grave. 50 minus 3 is 47. 40 days he's on the earth showing himself alive to disciples. 40 minus 57 is 7. So basically, a week after Christ went to be with the Father, we are celebrating Pentecost, and we're in Acts chapter number 7. 2 rather. Acts chapter number 7. So for all practical purposes, we can roughly say that Christ gave the Great Commission here, and a week later, we had Pentecost. A week later, about 7 days. Verse number 2, and they, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Most people believe that the place they were at was the same house they did the Lord's Supper in. You remember when... Jesus sent the disciples into the city. He said, you're going to find a man with a goat, and he's going to, not a goat, a donkey, and he's going to lead you to a house, celebrate the Passover in that upper room. Anybody remember that idea? Yes or no?
Yes.
Nod your head. And that's where Jesus washed the disciples' feet, They celebrated the Lord's Supper there. He said, who's going to betray me? The one that dips the thing in there. And that was Judas. He left. That upper room is the same room that they're in, is what most people believe here. Now, let's talk about that upper room. Think about a large, open, flat area on the second floor of a home with a giant table, and that's about all that you've got. This would be the primary hangout, socialization place where the people would gather and enjoy a meal together and fellowship. So they're up there, and they're praying, and they're in one accord, and they're fellowshipping, and they're enjoying each other. By the way, if you look back at verse 26, just look up just a little bit on 26. See it in your Bible, verse 26? Who is the disciple that's selected to replace Judas?
Matthias,
that's correct. M-A-T-T-H-I-A-S. He becomes the 12th apostle. He becomes the 12th apostle there, Matthias. They actually drew lots, and the Lord directed the lot and said that it should be Matthias. Actually, read verse 2 forward, and I'll interrupt you as necessary.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with them other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we are born?
All right, let's pause for a minute, and then you can see in verse number 9, look in your own Bible, and you see all these different what? Locations, places. All right, now these people had come to Jerusalem as Jews from the various locations to celebrate what?
Passover.
Not the Passover.
Pentecost.
Okay, Pentecost. Now, have you ever heard the word a Pentecostal? Have you ever heard the word Pentecostals?
Yes.
Yes, that's where it comes from. A Pentecostal church will have a heavy emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is when God sent the Holy Spirit. Okay, the rushing of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And what you notice in verse number 7, and they were all amazed and marveled and saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So the supernatural miracle in Acts chapter 2 was my ability to speak Spanish, although I'd never spoken Spanish in my entire life, or my ability to speak Vietnamese, and I've never spoken it in my entire life, or Korean, and I've never spoken it in my entire life. And God gives me the ability to communicate to you the gospel in your own language. So you'll see that I'm going to ask you to know foreign languages is what the gift was. All right, now let's start reading about Peter's sermon in verse number 14. Pick it up, Ashley.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
"You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know."
All right, good. So he is now going to preach to them Jesus. His entire sermon is focused on this simple truth. You Jews killed the Messiah. You crucified the Messiah. You don't even realize it. You killed God's Messiah. And then look at verse number 23. He says, "Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So was it God's plan, according to verse 23, for that to happen? Yes. It was his determinate counsel. That's the decision that was made before the foundation of the world. "And by God's foreknowledge, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." It wasn't possible to keep Jesus in the grave. You can't keep God in the grave. You can't keep that innocent man in the grave. God will not allow Satan to keep that man in the grave. Up from the grave, he arose. That's the idea. All right, pick it up, Matt.
Verse
25.
"For David speaketh concerning him, and I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt it suffer thine Holy One to see corruption."
All right, let me interrupt you now, Matt. What he's doing now is he is now quoting an Old Testament passage. So now he's preaching to them from the Old Testament. From the Septuagint, which is the what?
The
Greek translation of the what? Of the Old Testament. And he's telling them about David. And he's saying, you missed it. You should have known. David spoke of this Christ. Now look at verse 34. "For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord." That was Psalm 110, folks. We looked at that when we were going through the Psalms. That was what we called a messianic psalm. "Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies," or thy foes, "thy footstool." Therefore, look at verse 36, everyone. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus." Now, what has God done to that same Jesus whom you crucified? What has God made him according to verse 36?
Both
Lord and Christ. Now, the very word Lord is the owner, the master, the boss, the kurios. The kurios is the Greek word. He is the owner. He is the boss. God made that Jesus who you crucified, he made him Lord, Master, Boss, Sovereign, and the Messiah. Now everyone look at verse 37. "Now when they," these are these Jews now, "when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Matt, read to us what Peter said.
"And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and receive the holy gift of the Holy Ghost."
So these apostles said to them, repent. The word repent is turn from the sin of unbelief. The sin of not believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Turn from that, and then what would their baptism be? It would be a public acknowledgement that they now have faith in what? In Jesus Christ. The one that they crucified, that God rose from the grave, and that is now made Lord and the Christ. And when they did this, according to the Bible, two things would happen. What would happen with their sins? They would be remitted, all right? Remitted is forgiven. So number one, their sins would be forgiven. And then what else?
They receive the gift.
They would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is still true today. If any student in this room puts their faith in Jesus as their Savior, their sins will be forgiven, and God will send the Holy Spirit to live inside you. Ashley, pick up verse 39.
For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
All right, good. Now look at this. The promise. What promise? The promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. We read that just earlier in the beginning of the chapter. Let's find the exact verse where he says that. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now Peter says, this promise of repenting and putting your faith in Christ, this water baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, having your sins forgiven, is not just for you. Who else is it for?
Anybody.
To your children and to all that are what?
Afar off.
Afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So God calls them, they respond in faith, and they are saved. Look at verse 40. Bethany?
Okay. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
All right, almost done. Just give me one more minute. And they continued steadfastly, and I want you to notice these four things. If you have your pen, underline them. Number one, the apostles' doctrine. Number two, fellowship. Number three, breaking of breads. And number four, prayers. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. All right, I'll see you tonight at the homecoming.